Live.
Welcome to Studio B Live. Here we are in the production house of Studio B Live. Woo! Busy, busy, busy.
Tell everybody who's here today.
Here today, working and helping us out is our youngest son, Christian. And he's 18 months now? He's picking up dog food and putting it in different places. That's what he's doing. Here's our oldest son, David. And he's here helping building hives and getting everything shipped out. Hi, Dave.
Hey, everybody.
What do you have to say?
We're going to build a lot of boxes this afternoon, and hopefully we can get your order out on time.
Yeah, not doing too bad. Hi, Christian. Can you say hi?
Say hello. Are you shy? Say hi.
He has no comment. Here's Sherry. Sherry heads up the entire Studio B Live personality. People listen to Studio B Live so they can hear Sherry speak.
Yeah.
And there are people writing in again saying that they're addicted. They feel like they can't exist without hearing a broadcast, Sherry. They need to hear your voice. They need to hear some encouraging words.
Hi. Be encouraged.
We're staying encouraged, but we're also staying busy, aren't we? And that's one of the reasons we haven't been able to get as many broadcasts out as we'd like to. But we're continuing to work on it, and it's been a lot of fun. So we also have our daughter, Karee, is in here right now boxing up hives. And she is our queen-rearing operator, but is out of queen-rearing season, so we put her to work and shipping department today. Hi, Karee.
Hello.
And Karee does a little bit of everything, computer work, packaging, and all sorts of things. What is your official title? Do you remember what your title is?
Order Fulfillment Specialist.
Order Fulfillment Specialist. Woo! Order Fulfillment Specialist.
She wanted a raise, but we just gave her a new title instead.
Yeah. Well, she got promoted, but the pay stays the same, just into a better title. And we have our future daughter-in-law hard at work over here, Nikki. Hello, Nikki.
Hi, everybody.
And what is Nikki's title? Does Nikki have a title?
Fiance.
Oh. She's not the fiance yet.
Fiance is not a good title. She's our... Well, office temp.
I'm the assistant is what I am. I do whatever I'm told to do. So if that means I have to juggle and hop on one foot, I will.
Yeah, and Nikki answers the phone. We're getting Nikki to answer the phone. So you may hear her voice the first time you call. So, and until she started answering the phone last week, she really didn't know anything about beekeeping or about bees. And so we're trying to give her a crash course so that when you call with those very complicated questions, she can answer them for you. So be patient with Nikki. She's here to just make sure someone's there to answer the phone, because oftentimes we're so busy we can't get to the phone line. All right. Hey, Sherry, you want to say something else to folks?
I think we need to talk about the bees a little bit. Right now, our ship date is April the 27th, but you know we're all sold out of our April the 27th bees. So if somebody wants to order bees, we have another ship date in May the 13th. So you have to consider that date when you call.
And that was by our own choosing. We could have sold more, but 300 is our own. It's the only way that we can maintain our sanity. It's a sell 300. We might sell more next year, but you would not believe the administration, the organization, and not only that, but I don't think people realize that when you sell one package, it's not as simple as selling a package. What you're doing is you're also earning a customer, and you want to be able to treat all those customers nicely and right and answer their questions. And so we just know there's a limit of how many packages and customers, new customers asking package B questions that we can deal with. So we by our own choice, we thought let's just get 300. But we also are selling a 100 or 200 from the truck that I'll be driving back from Florida in about a month. So you, those of you that want to pick up some packaged bees on the honeybee farm here in East Central Illinois, you're welcome to do that. And then, of course, we're selling Nooks by the middle of May. All right. And let's see. I'm gonna go out here and talk to Seth. The weather's shaped up pretty good for us here in Central Illinois. It's a real nice day today. It must be 70 degrees, and the bees are just out. I've never seen bees like this. I cannot imagine why they are so eager to go out and fly as I've ever seen it. This looks like fall to me when you see bees robbing or just flying everywhere looking for something. You know, in the fall you can have a dearth, and a dearth is when the bees can't find any nectar. But our maple trees are producing pollen, and those maple trees are just buzzing with bees. It's incredible. And speaking of bee, we oftentimes call Seth the bee. It's just a nickname that he got from our family, but he doesn't like being called bee. He likes being called Seth. Say hello to Studio B Live listeners, Seth.
Hi, everyone.
And Seth is out here in the shop by himself today just for a few minutes while we're packaging things up. And right now, if I had a video camera, you'd just love it because he's building a top cover. And he's stapling the metal onto the top cover now. He has become our top cover specialist. No one builds a top cover better than Seth does. He just started about probably March the 11th building top covers. So if you got top covers that I built, you should see what he does. They're the same top cover, but he has a artistic way of putting that metal on in the corners. Woo! He cuts the metal just perfect, folds it over the lip, just grand. He builds everything out here, but right now he's doing top covers and putting the metal on there. I'm going to take you to a beehive and let you listen to it. And the bees are everywhere, and we'll walk over here to this hive. Maybe you can hear them. I'll just stick the microphone in the middle of them. Okay, did you hear that? That's great, isn't it? Wow, I don't know if you heard it, but bees are hard at work. One of the things I want to hear back from you, and I'll be talking about it more on our blog, in our bee lessons, but we are thinking about having webinars. Now, webinars are for people who can't travel to one of the facilities that we teach at, either our own honeybee farm or the Anita's Purpose Nature Center in Champaign, Urbana. And if you are really far away and it doesn't make sense for you to drive over here, we're thinking about having webinars. And we're looking into that possibility. They're pretty pricey to have a webinar, but in the long run, it would pay for itself, and it would make the registration much, much cheaper. You know, we're hoping that instead of $85 to attend one of our classes, personally, you can attend one of the webinars for between $20 and $30. And so that's a real possibility that we can make strides that way. We are going to be holding a webinar. The company that we're working with, they've agreed to let us try one of the webinars for free, and we'll see, you know, how well it goes. So I'll be publishing information and dates and all for our upcoming webinars, and you might be interested in just sitting down for a few hours on your computer, and it would sure save you time from not having to drive so far or stay in a hotel. And so I'll keep providing information about our upcoming webinars. Well, you know, Sherry, last week, or this week, something really strange happened that I don't think we've ever had happen before. A lady named Nikki, what state is Nikki from, Cree? Don't know. She called me and said, she was real nice about it, but she said there was something in her hive and she wasn't sure. She bought some new hives from us, and there was something in the box, and she wasn't sure what it was. So she began describing it to me, and I'm thinking, boy, I knew that she was just having trouble describing a part. Like, people do call up and say, what is this, what is that? But the more she described it, it sounded like something I had never imagined. I couldn't picture it in my mind. So she said it's painted on one side, and it looks like it kind of is broken off on this side. And I was like, well, maybe something broke in shipment, because that happens occasionally. But she's like, no, nothing's broke. The hive's fine. I said, well, why don't you send me a couple of pictures of it? And so she sent me some pictures today, and I'm looking at these pictures, and I cannot imagine what those little pieces are. And it's just like she described them. And the only thing that we can kind of figure out is that maybe our little Christian, who's 18 months old, who sometimes helps us in the shipping department, there he is, he knows he's guilty, he must have picked up some odd little pieces of some wood we had laying around and put them in that bee box.
They look like pieces of an old windowsill or something.
Yeah, they do. And so I was thinking that, you know, what probably the best way to explain this would be that every now and again, Sherry will put prizes in beehives. I mean, if you're a very repetitive customer, return customer, and we really like you, Sherry will put honey sticks or some little honey candy.
Don't say that. I haven't been able to do that in a long time.
I know.
People will start looking now and think, well, where's my little prize?
Yeah, when I was a kid, we had the what was the popcorn that you ate, the caramel popcorn?
What was that stuff called?
Jack something.
Oh my God! Yeah, you'd go to the, you get it at the
Applejack. No, not Applejack.
Cracker Jack.
It was Cracker Jack. And it always had a little prize that always settled to the bottom, seemed like.
Yeah.
And you could take those out and get little rub-on tattoos or little toys. And so now people need to start expecting. But I don't know about Nikki, her getting these wooden sticks. You know, I guess she's not a real known customer. I mean, we appreciate her, but if she buys from us again, she will step up to the next notch of enclosed prizes, and they will be more than a stick. It might be more than a wooden stick. It might be a honey stick or something.
Christian walks around while we're packaging and shipping, and he walks in and out the boxes, and he'll pull things off the shelves. So, I mean, you know, the folks might end up with an extra hive tool or an extra smoker or an extra hat and a veil or something, but he'll just pull those things off, and when our backs are tearing, he'll just toss them in the boxes.
He does it at the grocery store, too, doesn't he?
He grabs things and throws them.
Too close to a shelf, he'll just throw stuff in the cart, you know, and you get to checking out, and you have to say, wait a minute, I don't want that, I don't want this. So who
knows what you might end up with next time. So if you get a duplicate of something or you'll get something special, then it's just a nice little surprise from Christian Burns.
And when I looked at those pictures, though, I don't remember seeing anything like that on our property at all. So
well, that doesn't matter because Christian will find it.
Maybe UPS, maybe the box fell open in a UPS shipment. Maybe several boxes fell open of different companies, and they didn't know what pieces to put in the box, because I don't know what those two pieces of wood are. We don't make those two pieces of wood. We don't paint one side of it like that. It's just weird. I don't know what that is. So sorry about that, Nikki, but you're welcome to keep those and use those at your discretion somehow, you know? And Christian is really happy they got to you. Little Christian, he feels successful in getting those little 60. And now it's time for bees in the news. Well, it seems like bees always make the news somehow, and they're back in the news pretty heavy this week. And I'm excited to bring you a couple of stories about bees in the news. One is, did you hear that the First Lady, Michelle Obama, is actually keeping a beehive in the garden at the White House? And that's exciting to hear. And you know, we often wonder, well, will that really bring beekeeping more to the forefront for such a popular person to be keeping bees? And we hope so. We don't know, maybe not, but certainly there's that possibility that beekeeping is going to get a better image if the First Lady is keeping bees. a beehive. So they're hoping to provide some honey for the first family, and that's really neat. Well, another article, I'll tell you more about that in a minute, but another article is from the magazine Scientific American. This is a April 2009 edition, an article entitled Solving the Mystery of the Vanishing Bees on page 40. And the subtitle is The Mysterious Ailment Called Colony Collapse Disorder Has Wiped Out Large Number of the Bees That Pollinate a Third of Our Crops. The causes turn out to be surprisingly complex, but solutions are emerging. And of course, this is by Diana Cockfoster and Dennis Van Engelsdorp, and they have been following colony collapse disorder since the discovery of it back in the fall of 2006. So I would encourage you to take a look at that article if you can, and you can probably go online and look up the magazine Scientific American, and actually that's www.sciam.com, and I'm not sure if they have that article on their website, but it's probably a good probability that they do. And it's really a good article, a lot of good facts in the article, a beautiful picture of the face, the head of a honeybee. And I've looked at honeybees under a microscope, but if you've never done that, you ought to see this picture, and you'll be surprised how hairy the bees really are. And on the next page, there's a picture of David Hackenberg, who was the first beekeeper to alert the U.S. Entomologist to the implacable disappearance of worker bees, a sign of what is now known as colony collapse disorder. And so there's a picture of him standing in the midst of a whole bunch of bees flying. There's a map that you'll be interested in this article, a countrywide scourge of bees disappearing. And so they have the numbers here. Let me read some of those to you just to get your attention. Number of honeybee colonies estimated to have died in the United States over the winter of 2007 and 2008, that would have been last winter, 750,000 to 1 million. Now that's colonies, that's not individual bees. 1 million colonies died. And some beekeepers have reported in this article of losing up to 90% of their colonies. And there's a map showing how much each state has lost in the numbers of bees. So it's a good article, one I think you ought to read and get your hands on if you can, find out more information about it. Diana Cockfoster is professor of entomology at Pennsylvania State University and co-director of Colony Collapse Disorder. And Dennis Van Engelsdorp, he has a passion for bees, and it began in his undergrad work in beekeeping at the University in Ontario. So this is a good article. I don't know if you can get your hands on it, but if you can, you ought to read up on it. A lot of good facts in there. Without honeybees, this article says, many foods included in the breakfast in the picture, it's a great breakfast. It says many of the foods in the picture in the breakfast at the left would become too rare for most people to afford. And they have a picture to the right of what the breakfast would look like without honeybees, and there ain't much good breakfast left. All right. Here's some fast facts for you from the article. There are an estimated 900 to 1,000 commercial beekeepers in the United States, managing 2.4 million colonies. Nearly 100 kinds of crops require pollination by honeybees. The annual value of bees' work is $14 billion in the United States, and $215 billion, that's with a B, worldwide. That's just the value of their pollination service. And so some interesting facts about pollination and honeybees in this article. Again, the article is entitled Solving the Mystery of the Vanishing Bees on page 40 of Scientific American, the April 2009 edition. Now, let me tell you more about Michelle Obama keeping bees. And Michelle Obama is starting a garden in Washington, D.C. And what's interesting about this article, and by the way, this is from People Magazine online at people.com, and this article says, it was posted on Friday, March the 20th, it says the First Lady may be gung-ho about what she's calling her new White House kitchen garden, but her daughters are worried the venture will get them stung. Quote, we're going to have a beehive, unquote, Michelle Obama announced Friday to oohs and ahs from Washington area school children, wielding shovels and rakes and hoes to help with the garden, groundbreaking. And she says, quote, I'm glad you're excited, but because my kids aren't very excited about the beehive. But we're going to try to make our own honey, unquote. And I think that's exciting. I have seen other documents about people trying to encourage the Obamas to have their own beehive to kind of go green and set the example for the nation, and it appears they're doing that. I've also read articles that bees are banned from the Washington, D.C. area, and I don't know if that's true or not. If it is, they'll have to work around that. So this is exciting, and by the way, that was announced Friday from Michelle Obama, the First Lady, and we're going to see how this pans out. Hopefully it'll all work out and maybe bring a lot more interest to beekeeping as the First Lady sets the example of keeping a beehive for their family to have honey and to pollinate their garden. That's some good news, isn't it? You heard it first! Well, maybe not first. It depends. You might have heard it first. But you heard it right here on Studio B Live. Well, over the weekend, Saturday night, I had the pleasure of driving up to Cook DuPage Beekeepers Association in Chicagoland area. And it was a pleasure to have a great supper with Mike Resnick, their president. And, wow, we had a great Cajun meal together at a great restaurant in Chicago, and then we went over to the beautiful Oak Brook Park District Shelter in Oak Brook, Illinois, and we just had a great time. They had about 100 people there. It's a huge association, and I really enjoyed being with them for the evening. We started about 7, and I didn't start speaking, I don't think, until after 8 or 8:30, but they're used to going a long time. They went for about 3 hours. They have they try to get done by 9:30. So, you know, they dedicate a couple hours, 2.5 hours, sometimes longer, to their beekeeping meetings. But I want to tell you a few things about the group. They had just a great balance of ages. They had their very experienced, chronologically aged beekeepers there. And they had their very young beekeepers, a good mixture, a lot of young faces, which is something we love to see because it keeps the beekeeping hobby going as we get more young people coming into it. And I also liked it because they had some special touches to their meeting. They had a book sale. They have a table set up with beekeeping books, and so it's a good deal. They buy the books, make a few dollars profit off of them, sell them to the beekeepers that are there, and helps support the club, and it gives educational material into the hands of the new beekeepers coming to the meetings. Another thing they had, which was neat, they had the whiteboard question. They had a white dry marker board at the front of the room when you come. First thing you can do before the meeting starts is you can write your beekeeping question on the dry marker board. And at one point in the meeting, they take time to ask these questions out loud to the group, have the group answer these questions. And it's a good learning time as well. And in between, they had about a 20-minute break in the middle of the program. And everybody brought, it looked like a church potluck. They brought food. And I was already stuffed from our meal. Mike and I enjoyed the Cajun food, and I couldn't hardly eat anything else. But they had every kind of dessert and foods and activities going on. And it was just a very active,
informative meeting. So the Cook DuPage Beekeeping Association in the Chicagoland area is doing a super job and have so many beekeepers involved with that association there. But it was a pleasure talking to them. And in just a little bit, I want to share my talk that I gave there last night on our podcast here. And that will end with that teaching that I gave up there at the Cook DuPage Beekeeping Association meeting in Chicago. But, yeah, it was good. Always good to see beekeeping associations prosper and doing well and growing in interest. And Mike has become a good friend, and he's doing a great job with promoting beekeeping, and it was a pleasure speaking with them last night. And I will share that speaking engagement, the contents of it, fully in just a little bit. But before I do, I want to share some more things with you today. And I want to remind you that the Boy Scouts are getting involved in beekeeping, and, well, at least Troop Number 107 is getting involved. And I've been talking with their troop leader, Randy Cartwright. He has emailed me a few times and talked on the phone a couple of times. And he is the troop leader for Troop 107. And they are Boy Scout troop that are starting their own honeybee farm. And it's pretty exciting what's going on there. And I want to share with you more information about it on the podcast here. I did send out that through my blog spot, but in case you missed it, Randy says I'll just read what he says here. Our Boy Scout Troop 107 and the parents are very excited about starting a bee farm. It is our goal to do our part to Mother Nature by replenishing the honeybee population, well, at least help. We understand the importance of the honeybee to our ecosystem, and we will be the first Boy Scout troop in history to own a bee farm or even try, but we need help. So they're trying to raise funds, and we are encouraging other beekeepers or people that are following this podcast or my blog or my bee lessons to send a donation over to Troop 107. You can make it payable to Boy Scout Troop 107. You can mail it to Scoutmaster Randy Cartwright, Cartwright. And the address is 945 Wellfield, that's Wellfield, Wellfield Road, Elizabeth City, North Carolina, and the zip there is 27909. Let me give you that address again. I know I kind of went fast, but Randy Cartwright, and that's spelled Cartwright. That's where you want to mail it to. Make your check payable to Boy Scout Troop 107. Mail it to Randy Cartwright. His address is 945 Wellfield Road, and that's spelled Wellfield. The city is Elizabeth City, and the state is North Carolina, and the zip code is 27907. So if you can be generous to send a donation to these young beekeepers, I know it will go a long way to help them get started. And even if you cannot send a donation, drop Troop 107 a note through Randy and tell them good job, you know, thank them for what they're doing. And on our blog site, we do have the email address that you can email them. But do consider giving them a donation to help them buy some startup equipment, some hives. We've already donated, Long Lane Honeybee Farm has donated their first hive, and we've done our part, and we want you to do your part. So give them some encouragement, maybe a donation to help these young boys get started. You know, it really does make me feel good when I can stop thinking about me all the time. You know, we can all get in kind of caught up in that. And we can begin to be kind and generous to worthy causes. And, you know, who knows? Maybe one of these future beekeepers will be the one who finds the solution to some of the pests and diseases, maybe even colony collapse disorder, helping the bees. And, you know, just knowing that young people are getting involved in beekeeping is a big plus. So do keep them on your mind. Drop them a donation if you can. Well, many of you have been inquiring about when our next beekeeping class is going to be, and I'll let you know, they are a lot of work. A lot goes into preparing for our beekeeping classes and courses that we offer, but we are excited about what we are going to offer in the near future. Let me tell you about that. Get a pen and paper ready. Pen and paper ready up here. And give you some information that you have got to write down. We have just the best of time at our beekeeping meetings. It's been great meeting so many people and teaching people about beekeeping. Okay, now we're very busy this time of the year with hive productions and coordinating all the bees and getting our own bees ready and so forth. But we've had time to step into the strategy room and think about offering some bee classes in the months of April and May. Now, in the month of April, let me make sure I've got the right... Okay. In the month of April, on the 24th, I'll be offering a queen rearing class here at our honeybee farm in Central Illinois, April the 24th. It's a Friday. You can't come. And you know why? The class is filled to capacity, and so we can't take any more people. But if you'll be patient and wait 1 week, 2 weeks, well, let's see, how many weeks will you have to wait? 1, 2, 3. If you'll wait 4 weeks until May the 16th, we are offering a queen rearing class again on May the 16th. Now, on May the 16th, you can come on a Saturday and you can sign up and register and enjoy learning about beekeeping. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean beekeeping. I mean queen rearing. The beekeeping course, if that's what your interest is, here's something interesting, too. On May the 23rd, that's a Saturday, a week after our queen rearing class, you can come on Saturday and learn all about beekeeping. It's our basic beekeeping lessons, all in one, personalized, teaching you how to become a beekeeper. Now, this is interesting. Let's say it's May the 20th, and you've been twiddling your thumbs, wondering about keeping bees, but on May the 20th, you say, oh, I can't do it this year, it's too late. And you talk to some beekeepers, oh, yeah, it's too late, you can't get started, you won't be able to find packages anywhere, it's too late. That's not true, let me tell you why. If on May the 20th, you say, I want to be a beekeeper, then all you have to do is sign up for our class that will be on May the 23rd, because here's the deal. On May the 23rd, if you're just starting out, you can come. You can, on the 23rd, you can pick up your hive, the woodenware. You can purchase your beekeeping equipment, hat, bells, smokers, hive tools, and hives. And you can purchase a five-frame nook. A five-frame nook means the queen is already released. She's laying. There's five frames of honey and pollen and brood in various stages. And you can drive home after the class with a head full of knowledge and a trunk full of bees. Okay? Seriously, this is pretty cool. I thought, let's do a turnkey startup, learn everything, take your bees home, all your equipment in one day. So that's going to be, really, that's the lifesaver day. For those of you out there thinking, oh, I should have started earlier. I should have started earlier. Here you go. On the 23rd of May, you can get educated on beekeeping, buy your nooks, install them in your beehive that you buy from us that day, drive home a certified beekeeper. Woohoo! With your bees and all your equipment. You can make up your mind on the 20th of May, provided that we're not booked up, and there you go. You don't have to do it in January. But this is a rare occasion. Typically, you would want to get it all straightened out in January, but this is for all those people who out there have for some reason been daydreaming all winter, and now that spring's here, they've kind of come to life and said, oh, yeah, I want to keep bees this year. So we're pulling out all the plugs to get you in here and get you educated. All stops have been pulled, and that's going to be May the 23rd. Let me recap this again. I know this is a little bit confusing. So on May the 16th, queen rearing. Friend, you need to learn how to raise queens, don't you? You've always wanted to do it. You've wanted to get your feet wet on it. Here's how it happens. We're going to take 15 people and teach you how to raise queens. My wife says we should only have 12 people, and she's probably right. But I feel sorry for the other three of you that want to squeak in at the last minute. And so 15. Well, you know, maybe Sherry's right. What do you think? Okay, I'll tell you what. The problem we have is, if you get more than 12, it's hard to give personal attention to everyone. With 15, it's just enough to push you over where you don't even know all 15 members' names because it's just one day and you don't have time to learn everybody. You can't spend personal time. And with grafting, we want to personally encourage you. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Let's say 12. Sherry will be happy. But if three of you are dying to come, and you boo-hoo and cry that you really want to be in this class, I can probably bend the rules and get 15 in, but maybe not. So you're going to have to sign up and register ahead of time. The first 12 will teach you how to raise queens. All right, here's what you get. Are you ready? This is cool. You're going to get a lot of encouragement. You're going to get lunch. We're going to give you lunch. You're going to get a Chinese grafting tool. This is part of your registration fee. You're going to get material on how to do, you know, good grafting that you can take home, schedules to follow, and et cetera. You're going to get personal training. I'm going to stand by you and say, nope, that's not right. A little bit to the right. Oh, you mean you can't see it? Okay, look, here. Try to wear these glasses. Put these little magnifying glasses. Okay, now these. Oh, good. There you go. Now, carry it over to your queen cup. Drop it in your queen cup like this. Oh, excellent. Woohoo! Hey, everybody. We got a good queen grafter right here. Give a hand. We're going to encourage you. When you sit there and say, now look, first time I did it, I kept saying, I can't do this. I'm just no good at it. I'm no good at this. I am no good. I can't do it. I can't do it. I just felt terrible. I couldn't get it. I kept trying and trying and trying. And I wanted to cry. I wanted to say, doggone it, I can't seem to do it. But, you know, I got in my mind that I'm going to do it if it takes me the rest of my life. And so I kept practicing over and over again. And by the way, you know, you got 1,500 cells on a side of a frame. You're not going to hurt any. The bees don't care. You're going to mess up 10 larvae. You're going to kill them. It's not a big deal. All right? Don't worry about it. Practice makes perfect, and as you practice, you're going to practice under our oversight. We're going to be teaching you not to change the orientation of the larva as you position it over onto the queen cup. We're going to help you have successful techniques in grafting. Woohoo! Plus, you're going to receive a frame that holds your queen cups. You're going to receive a queen bar, the bar that holds the cups. You're going to receive the cups that we make from our own non-medicated wax. We make our own queen cups. And get this, if you want to, you could even take home your grafts and put them in a queenless hive or above a queen excluder and see if, you know, you can get your grafts to go and see how it goes after that. Or you can leave them here, we can raise them, you can come back and get them. It's cool. A lot of options, okay? And who knows, we'll probably send you home with some queen cells regardless. We'll be good to you. All right? But I want to tell you, I can only take 12 students on the 16th at our queen rearing class. So that's going to be 12 people that needs to call and register. The price of this queen rearing class on May the 16th from 9 to 3 is $89. And I'm sorry, if you're coming with the wife, every seat counts. If you sit as one of the 12, whether you're a child or a wife or a husband, a family, I just can't give a discount. So every seat costs $89. So plan ahead. And we'd love to have you. And you can call us to register for that class, 217-427-2678. Again, call and register for our upcoming queen rearing class.
We're going to make a queen breeder out of you. That's going to be May the 16th, 9 to 3, here in Central Illinois. The number to call to register, 217-427-2678. Registrations are only confirmed after completion of payments. And once you pay, your seat is yours. Okay, now those of you wanting to come for basic beekeeping lessons to get a start on beekeeping, I'll be teaching that on May the 23rd. That's the Saturday, which you can come and learn all about beekeeping and purchase a nook while you're here or in a hive and drive home with both your knowledge and the bees in one day. That's Saturday, May the 23rd. That's the beekeeping, basic beekeeping class. But May the 16th, the Saturday before, is the queen rearing class. All right, got it? Register for one of those courses, 217-427-2678. And I look forward to seeing you. And again, the 23rd is limited registration. It's going to be about the same. The beekeeping class will take 12 registrations, maybe 15 if you twist my arm. All right, so be a part of those upcoming beekeeping classes. We look forward to meeting you. Okay, I want to answer some questions that seem to be on people's minds this time of the year. You'll be getting your package bees if you're a new beekeeper within the next few weeks, a month maybe, and your nooks as well. And so a lot of people ask some common questions, and I want to answer those for you right now. Now, we do have a website established where you can go and watch me install a package. And this is in lesson number 33 on our basic beekeeping blog spot. If you've never seen our beekeeping lessons, simply go to basicbeekeeping.blogspot.com. And on the right, you can see the lessons as they are numbered there. And lesson number 33, I've got a video of me installing a package, and that'll give you a few pointers of installing a package. So watch that video. Lesson number 7 is a still picture, several still pictures, walking you through the installation of a package. Now, if you've ordered packages from us, we will also send you a copy of that lesson number 7 in the mail so that you can study it and get prepared to install your package of bees. But I want to let you know that for those of you installing packages this year, I know you have questions. Now's the time to get ready for that package or the nook if you're buying nooks from us. And here are some commonly asked questions about the first beginners installing a package. They want to know this time of the year, what color should they paint their hive? Well, we sell them painted white, but maybe you want to change the color. They want to know which direction to face their hive. And they also want to know how high off the ground, or what do you put your hive on. So let me answer those very quickly. Paint them any color you want to. Unless you live in the deep south, doesn't matter. You can paint them black. Now, traditionally, they're painted white because most people think that white reflects sun, the bees will stay cooler, but it doesn't really matter that the bees do stay cool. They have a way of regulating the temperature through their moving air through the hive. So not to worry unless you live in an extremely torturous hot climate. So paint them any color you want to. Have a ball with the color of your choice. Now, which direction do you want the bees to face? It really doesn't matter, although we do feel that if you make them face the south or southeast or east, that's the best direction. Sunlight from the sunrise hits the hive earlier, goes indoors, wakes the bees up, and they fly out earlier. If they're in shaded areas, they may not get flying us earlier. The more they fly, the more honey they bring in, the more nectar they bring in. So more light is better. And that also is a question is, should they be in direct sunlight or in shade? My opinion, always put them in direct sunlight if you can. If you cannot, it's not the end of the world. But there are just less pests and problems in the direct sunlight as compared to in a wooded area. In a wooded area, you have more moisture and you have more pests like ants and beetles and little waxworms. Things that want to get into a hive are more
prevalent in the shaded areas where bugs hang out anyway. So you can put them in direct sunlight. They do seem to do better there. And by the way, I read some studies that show that in five-frame nooks facing the south, they have a less likely chance of getting small hive beetles. And so there is some studies being done. I don't think they know why, but they say small hive beetles don't enter in as much into hives that are facing south. So you can face them any direction you want to, of course, but we do seem to prefer facing south to southeast or to the east. I've got hives facing all directions. Quite honestly, they do all about the same. If you face them to the north, then you might have north winds blowing more in up on the entrance of the hive. And so, you know, you think that facing south, they get more of a southern sun in the wintertime. So that's the direction. That's the color. How high off the ground do you put them? Well, you don't want to put them so high up that after you add two deeps and 10 supers that you have this thing that you can't even reach the top of without a 20-foot stepladder. I mean, you know, you got to use your good judgment. Typically, we prefer at least 3 to 6 inches, but 6 or 8 inches is a pretty common height to put your bees up off the ground. You want to get up above the moisture. Ground holds a lot of moisture. Even though you may not see the moisture, if you put a meter out there, you'll see that there's a lot of dew, a lot of moisture that comes up out of the ground, even in dry weather. So get them up high enough so that they are at least 6 inches off the ground. You can use a lot of different things. You might be creative. You might want to build your own little stand. You may have some concrete slabs or some cinder blocks that are 6 or 8 inches tall that you can put your hive on those. You can even put 2 or 3 pallets together, get them up that high off the ground. A lot of different ways that you can elevate your hive. And elevation is important so that you can get them above the moist ground. And that's not just to protect your woodenware. That's to protect the bees from moisture. Bees like dryness. They're going to be curing the nectar, turning it into honey in a dry hive. So the drier it is, the better they can cure that honey faster. But also, if you're using screen bottom boards, which we really love, and that's the only thing we make except for special orders, that gives the mite a greater distance to drop out of the hive and get away from the hive. And once the mites drop below that screen bottom board, the chances of them re-entering are slim, and the further they drop, it's even more slim. So that's the advantage of having your hives elevated as high as possible. Now, a couple of more things I want to say about installing your packages. I'm going to let you read the material and watch the videos and the lessons to do it right. Those lessons I've provided free of charge for you. But I want to tell you, too, that we've had several people call and say, hey, when I put the entrance feeder in the front of my hive, the entrance cleat, the reducer cleat, doesn't fit perfectly on the front. Well, it's not made to. It's the entrance cleat is made to fit only in the complete opening of the front of the hive without the feeder. And so typically you're not going to be feeding bees all that long. Once they have natural nectar available, once you see flowers blooming, you can choose to continue to feed them if you want to. Some people say you should feed them as long as they're drawing wax out, making their comb. But we don't. We only feed our bees until there is a significant amount of flowers that we know the bees can successfully gather all the nectar they want naturally. I mean, they are bees. They know what to do, right? So that's our opinion. But if you want to keep feeding them sugar water, you can do that. But the reason that in our lessons, and I know it gives some pictures, and it looks like there's a groove cut perfectly to make this entrance cleat fit tightly in the opening, even though the entrance feeder is in it. And that's really not true. It never does close the opening entirely. So what I would challenge you to do is, when what I often do, I just lean that entrance cleat into the opening, let it lap over the bottom board and down against the entrance feeder, and it won't close it off entirely, but it will give some, it will reduce it a little bit. Now, another option you could do is just find some grass or some grass clippings or a few little tiny sticks and put in the opening of your hive after you install them, or before you install them is actually better. Before you install them, close off most of the entrance of that hive, because there's always a 25% chance that the bees might abscond once you install them. We don't know why. It's just sometimes you install a package and they get in their mind that they want to go flying around and leave your property. It's nothing against you personally, but that's just bees. But I have installed probably close to, I don't know, maybe 100 packages or more. I've never had one leave on me like that. But I always close my hive up in the front as much as possible. I may leave a little bit of room for bees to come and go, just to, you know, one at a time or two at a time. Not a big opening, just a little opening. And but I usually close them off that much for the first day, and I slowly open it up, you know, every day a little bit until after 3 or 4 days. I take that out and let them fly with a wide open entrance. So don't panic if your entrance cleat doesn't work with the feeder on there. Again, it's not made to. It only works with the feeder off, such as in the fall when you're not feeding and you just want to close it up for the winter. All right? Okay. Let's see. What other questions are pretty common? We get questions. Oh, another question that I hear, a lot of you bought Sherry's Sweetheart of a Deal, and some of you are saying, I didn't realize it did not come with a feeder. Here's why. Look, when you buy a package of bees and you receive it during the year, and we specifically plan it for you to receive these packages after there are flowers for the bees to feed on. You know, that's usually in the third or fourth week in April. Throughout the whole United States. I realize people in the South get a jump on the season, and people in the North are later. But the idea is you really never need to feed your bees, right? I mean, because bees are packaged bees. They're installed. They go out and gather nectar. They bring it in. They do their thing from the flowers. I mean, that's what you're hoping to do anyway, is receive nectar from flowers in your area and make honey. And you don't need to feed them in the winter, and you don't need to feed them in the spring, the second year, if everything goes right. Right? For example, a second-year hive that stored up enough natural honey to last through the winter, they don't need fed, because when their honey supply is beginning to run low in the spring, that's when the flowers start blooming, and they begin to reload their hive with nectar from flowers of that year. So in a perfect setting, what's intended in beekeeping is that you don't have to feed your bees. We only feed them now because there are times they don't store enough, we take off too much honey, they come out of winter from a hard winter, they ate up all their honey, and there may be a gap between the time that they eat all the stored honey up and when the flowers start blooming. And during that gap, typically in, well, for Illinois, it's March, then we do subsidize their feeding with some sugar water and pollen patties. You understand what I'm saying? All right. There you go. That's some information that would be priceless for you to chew on. All right. Well, that's all the time that I have for today. And we want to thank you for tuning in to Studio B Live. We do want to remind you that Studio Bee Live is a broadcast of Long Lane Honeybee Farms. Long Lane Honeybee Farms is the honeybee operation of me, David Burns, and my wife, Sherry, and our family. And we have a passion about beekeeping. We love it. What could be better? What a blast. And we hope you do too. And we're here to help you be a successful beekeeper, to gain knowledge, to gain courage, and to gain information, the ability to be a good beekeeper. All right. And so we're here rooting for you to be a successful beekeeper in 2009. So thanks for tuning in today. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to write in, email me with your questions. I always love answering questions through email. The email address is david@honeybeesonline.com. That's david@honeybeesonline.com. And just say, hey, David, here's a question for Studio B Live. What happens when? And just leave your question, and I'll answer it on an upcoming broadcast, all right? And you can always visit us online at www.honeybeesonline.com. We'd love to have you stop by our website, honeybeesonline.com. We have items you can purchase, information you can read and gain, Studio B Live broadcasts, videos, and much more about beekeeping. So there you go. Now, if you want package bees, they're still available. Our shipping date, though, has now on this second load has been bumped to around May the 15th. We completely sold out of the first load that we're are shipping out April the 27th. So if you still want package bees, we can get them, but it's going to be May the 15th before we ship. You can always show up at the Honeybee Farm here in East Central Illinois and receive your packages. On April the 18th, I have scheduled a time to go to Florida, shake the bees from about 600 or 800 hives, drive them back up here in a truck, and I'll have lots of them, and I'll be selling them out of our truck, in our property here on April, the 18th and the 19th, a Saturday and Sunday. And so if you still want to come and pick up packages, you can do that right here on April the 18th and 19th in East Central Illinois. The price is $75, okay? So it's not too late to get started in beekeeping. And remember, I am selling Nooks after May the 15th. So you can always purchase your hive equipment from us, get your packages or your Nooks, and you can start beekeeping this year. Don't let anybody tell you it's too late. It's not. We still have hives available. We still have packages and Nooks available as of today, which is March the 22nd. All right? So remember that. Okay. Well, thanks for tuning in today, friend. We look forward to being with you again. And until next time, remember to behave yourself.